Today we're going to be looking at these shepherds. The shepherds at Jesus' birth. The shepherds were lowly persons. They weren't homeless vagabonds, as I've heard some commentaries write about them. There are some people who talk about them as if they were homeless men who just wandered around. And that wasn't really the case to me. They weren't respected as leaders by any means, don't get me wrong. They were caretakers of sheep. And the sheep that they took care of were usually not their own. That's not quite the same as it was if you go back to Joseph. Joseph was caring for his father's sheep when he was out in the field. When David was a shepherd boy, he was watching his father's sheep. But by the time that we had come to Jesus' birth, the time in Bethlehem here, many of the shepherds were employees. They worked for somebody, and they took care of that person's sheep. I read in one commentary that a lot of the herds that were in the fields around Bethlehem were actually sheep that were used for the sacrifices in Jerusalem, because Jerusalem was only a few miles away. And so many of these sheep may have been owned by the temple or by the priests and were used as sacrifices in the temple. So that's the setting. We're here on this hillside in Bethlehem, or just outside of Bethlehem. And here are these shepherds that are out there. So many of the herds that were there were used in this way. And the shepherds were considered outsiders. They were poor. But they were outsiders because they spent most of their time out with the flocks. It wasn't like you could put them in a corral and then go off and do your thing and come back and check on them. They were in the fields with them, and they spent their time with them. They cared for them. They watched over them. They protected them. They were there all the time with them. And due to their profession, they were rarely clean for worship in the temple. Now, clean is a term that we go back to Leviticus to find. And if you go back into Leviticus, you can look it up for yourself in Leviticus 5 and Leviticus 11. It talks about being clean from the ability to worship. And here's what was happening. It says in there that if you were had blood on you, if you touched a dead carcass, if you were dealing with animals in a way where you were in with them, then you would be unclean to go into the temple for worship or into the tabernacle at the time. And you were not able to go in and do that unless you cleansed yourself. And that process meant to go outside the camp and be alone for a day, sometimes longer, depending on what the issue was. And that at the end of that time, you had to wash. And then after the day and you had washed and cleaned, then you could come in to worship. Well, for a shepherd to do that, the shepherd would have to be away from the sheep for a whole day. You can't leave sheep by themselves for a whole day. Because if you leave sheep by themselves, you'll have a lot less sheep the next day. They wander off. They get taken by other animals. It's not a good thing. So shepherds rarely left their sheep alone. And because they rarely left their sheep alone, they were generally unclean to go and worship. Didn't make them sinful. It just meant they weren't clean. It was a rule that was there that God had put in place. And so these men were rarely clean in order to go into the temple. So you didn't find a lot of shepherds hanging out at the temple talking to the rabbis. So this is what we were looking at. These are the men who were there. They were poor. They were lowly. They were humble in their stature because they were separated from the other people. Not because they had done necessarily things wrong, but because of their profession, they were made unclean. So this was an issue that they had, but this is who they are out in this field. And since they always are there with their sheep, they rarely go to the temple. Some commentators kind of disparage shepherds, but I don't really find, and they say that they were, I've read a few places where they say they were considered untrustworthy, and because of that, they weren't allowed to testify in court and things like that. I don't find anything like that in Scripture, so it may have been true in the society, but I don't see anything in Scripture that implies that. And generally, when we read in Scripture about shepherds, look at David, look at Joseph, look who Jesus calls himself, a shepherd. I don't think those are disparaging men to compare yourself to. So I don't think that we need to look that far, but we can look at them and say they definitely were the lower class of society because they didn't have a lot and they were outside of the mainstream. They didn't go into the cities a lot. They didn't go into the areas because they were always with their sheep. So why does God go to the shepherds? Why does he come to the shepherds about the birth of his son? And I think the reason is because these were the lowly and poor people, and that's exactly who Jesus came to save. You know, when we look at it, Matthew 9:12, Jesus is it's actually right after he calls Matthew, and he goes to Matthew's house. Matthew, his name was Levi, was a tax collector by profession. And so when he invites Jesus to come over and have dinner, guess who he invites? All of his tax collector friends. You want to go to dinner at the IRS's house? No, I don't think so. But here's what Matthew does. He says, hey, Jesus, come to my house, and I'm going to invite all my friends to come over. So what happens? Well, the Pharisees and the Sadducees get wind, and they go, oh, look at that, Jesus, off with the tax collectors. Now, tax collectors at that time were the scum of the earth, because they were generally Jewish people who were working for the Roman government to take taxes from the Jewish people, and it was a common practice for them to take more than was really due, and that's part of how they made all their money. So tax collectors were just like today, not a very nice people generally thought of. So here's Matthew, and Jesus is at his house. And the Pharisees make comments about the fact that Jesus is over with the tax collectors. And he makes this perfect statement. He says, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. He says, I didn't come here to make people who were righteous or think they're righteous feel good about themselves. I came here to save the lost. I came here to find those who really need me and to bring them into relationship with God. So the shepherds represent that people. Jesus is coming, and God tells the shepherds, because they're the very people, they represent that people, that Jesus is really coming to save. And so it's a great thing that we look at this. Ephesians 2:1, Paul tells us that we are dead in our sins. So Jesus is coming to us to save us. Just like he was coming to the sick, the sick go to the doctor, so Jesus was coming to those who are sick. We were sick because we were dead in our sins, and Jesus comes to us. So think about, we're going to go back in time here. We're going to leave our lovely home in Northridge. We're going back to Jerusalem. We're going back to Bethlehem. We're going to go sit on the hillside. The shepherds are there that evening. They're doing exactly what they do every single day. They're watching their sheep. They're keeping track of them. If they're in pens, which was a rock or an area that would have been closed off in order to keep the sheep at night, when they put them in pens, the shepherd would lay down in the doorway so that you couldn't go in or out. It kept the sheep from wandering off, and it kept the shepherd aware of what was going on so the animals wouldn't get in to attack the sheep. And so here the sheep are in their field or they're in their pen, wherever the shepherds have them, and the shepherds are there watching over them, keeping track of them so that they don't get harmed, so that they don't get lost, so they don't wander away. And they're there at night, and it's in the evening. Now, I know we celebrate Christmas in December, but the reality is that the shepherds were probably out in the fields because it was probably summer or fall when they were actually doing so. I don't want to mess up Christmas too much, but it's a fact. And so the shepherds are there. They're in the evening. Maybe they got a fire going, maybe not, but they're sitting there watching their sheep and they're talking together and they're keeping an eye on everything. And all of a sudden, there is a brilliant light that comes upon them. And I think the idea of Paul being struck by the light of God. There is this bright light, and all of a sudden there's an angel standing there. The angel says to them, "Don't be afraid." Too late. They're terrified. Can you imagine sitting there in the dark of night? I don't know if you ever go camping. We like to go camping. There's nothing like sitting around at night and it's pitch black. And the only thing you can see are the stars in the sky. And it's so dark. And all of a sudden, there is a huge light there. And in the midst of that, there's an angel standing there. I don't care who you are terrified at that point. Because that is not normal. And the angel stops. He goes, "Wait, wait, wait. Don't be afraid. I'm not here to bring judgment on you. I'm here because I got great news for you." He says, "I'm going to tell you something. This is good news that is going to bring great joy to all of the people. This is what I'm here to tell you." And he says, "In Bethlehem, in the city of David, is going to be born a Savior who is Christ the Lord." How awesome is that? You're sitting there in the evening. You're about to nod off maybe. You're getting a little tired. It's getting late. All of a sudden, an angel is there. And everything is lit up. And he says, "Don't be afraid. I've got great news for you." Now, I got to tell you, we were talking about this Tuesday night in Bible study. And we were talking about the fact that when an angel shows up, it's generally a terrifying event. Now, that isn't true of everything, because the Bible tells us that sometimes we entertain angels, which means we weren't terrified from them because we entertained them, right? But when an angel, a messenger of God, comes, and they're there to tell you, and it happens during the night when it's dark, and there's a bright light that comes with it, you're probably terrified. But he says, "Don't worry, because I've got great news for you. And this is going to be good and bring joy to all the world. And that is that the Messiah is born tonight." That's an amazing thing. Look in Isaiah. And the reason we go back to Isaiah is because Isaiah had prophesied this years and years and years ago. And in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 9 to 11, listen to what it says. "Go on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength. O Jerusalem, herald of good news, lift it up. Fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arm. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young." How awesome that is. The angels are announcing the birth of God. Jesus is fully God, and yet he is man. We talked about this last week. Jesus is both man and God. And this is fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah, and it's being given to these shepherds in the field. You notice, the angel doesn't come before King Herod and tell him. And guess who else he doesn't go to? You notice there's no mention in here of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, the leaders of the Jewish temple. They're not there. The angel didn't come to them and say, "Hey, guess what, guys? The Messiah you've been praying for all these years, he's here." No. He doesn't even go and present himself to the leaders, the wealthy people of the city, the Bill Gateses of the time. Who does he go to? He goes to these lowly, quiet shepherds out in the field. When Jesus is called a shepherd, maybe the angel was going to his own, the shepherds. The people who knew what it was like to tend sheep. From my understanding, because I've never been a shepherd, shepherds are not easy to keep track of. When we were driving through Colorado a couple of years ago, we were driving along, there goes a shepherd. Actually, we were going by, he was there. But as he was walking along, the sheep were all with him. And they're walking along, and we go a little bit further, there's this lone sheep doing circles out in the field. And I'm going, boy, that shepherd's got to come back and get this sheep. Because sheep get lost. They wander away. They don't pay attention necessarily to where everything else is. And they get caught, they get lost, and the shepherds have to keep track of them. And so that's who Jesus is being told about too. The angel, who is a messenger of God, is presenting to this very people, the king is coming. And the king has been born. This is a wonderful presentation to mankind, and it's not going to those of prominence or to those of wealth or to those of power. It's going to the very poorest people, and it's Jesus being presented to the shepherds by the angel of God. If you put your faith in the things of the world, you will end up with the world. But if you put your faith in God, you will end up with Jesus in heaven. There's a huge difference. The angel was presenting this gospel, and the gospel is the good news of Jesus to the world. And it came to the lowliest people. And I was thinking about this week, isn't that just typical of God? Typical that God does exactly what needs to be done and exactly opposite of what the world expects. If you're going to bring a king and a great leader to the world, you would say, well, you should go to the president, or you should go to the prime minister, or you should go to the leaders, or you should go to the wealthy. And God says, no, I think I'll take him to the people who will know him best. People who will need him most. I'll take him to the people that he's going to come to be with. And that's what God does. And I think it's just amazing that he does exactly the opposite of what the world thinks, but he does exactly what needs to be done. And the angels tell them, this is a sign. This is what the sign is. You're going to need this sign. Listen to me. You're going to find the baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. That's important, because if you want to go see the baby, you better know what you're looking for. You'll find the baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. I was thinking about this week, that probably would be a pretty easy find for the shepherds, right? They're going to go into Bethlehem. Now, we know Bethlehem was packed with people, okay, because Mary and Joseph couldn't find a place in the hotel, right? So they had to stay in the manger, right, with all the animals. So we go, well, it was a pretty packed town. But remember, Bethlehem wasn't that big a town. So if you got a lot of people in there, it didn't take much to fill it up. But how many babies were going to be born that night? And how many babies are going to be born in a stable? So it wasn't like they had to go and look at the registry at St. John's Hospital. All they had to do was go to all the stables and find him. So that's what they did. He says, the angel tells them, this is what you're going to need to know, because this is where you're going to find him. And that's what they were told. And then this great thing happens. I thought about this so much this week. Suddenly, there was a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. And I thought, you know, the shepherds probably didn't have the money to throw a party for Jesus. God said, don't worry, I got it handled. Can you imagine what the celebration must have been like on that hillside with the angels? I think we read it and we just go right on past it. But it says that suddenly there was a heavenly host. I don't know how much a host is. I looked up in my back. It doesn't have, in my Bible, it doesn't have a chart that says a heavenly host equals this many angels. But I got to imagine it was more than five or six. You know, this wasn't a little choral group that came out of heaven. This was God being born on earth, and God sent his angels to proclaim it, to sing about it, to celebrate it. And I can only imagine what it must have looked like for these shepherds to sit there and see the celebration in the air over the God of the universe being born on earth. How awesome that must have been. When God has a celebration, it's a celebration. You know, I was thinking about it. I don't see anywhere in Scripture where it talks about a similar celebration being seen by anybody. Now, I know Ezekiel and Daniel, even John, went into heaven, and they were able to see in heaven what it was like. But that was in heaven. There's nowhere in the Bible that I know of that it talks about a celebration like this on earth. It's only here because this is God. Jesus Christ is being born and God is announcing it, and he does it in the way nobody else would. So when the angels leave and the shepherds get their wits about them, they go, we need to go to Bethlehem. I'm pretty sure that's where we're supposed to be. And they took off and went to Bethlehem. And they find Joseph and Mary. This is one of the interesting things that we see about men of God, women of God in Scripture. When God tells them to do something, they do it, and they do it right then. They don't wait around till it's convenient for them. Gee, I gotta finish this up. Let me finish this chapter, God. I'm sorry about the angel. Let me finish this chapter in my book and I'll be right there. No. When Abraham is told by God to get up and go, he gets up and goes. In fact, when Joseph is told by the angel to take Mary and the child and go into Egypt, he gets up in the middle of the night and they take off. When men of God hear God's call and he says, I want you to go do this, they get up and go. And here we see these angels. They are true to that. When the angels leave, when the angels leave, these shepherds get up and go. They don't sit there and go, well, let's go to sleep. In the morning, we'll get up after breakfast and we'll head in. No, they're up in the middle of the night and they're in that town. They go right away. They find Joseph and Mary just as they were told they would, and they share. And listen, it says that they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the sayings that had been told to them concerning the child. So I was thinking about this. Do you think that they got there and they said, good evening, Joseph. We'd like to talk to you. We were out in the field and the angel came by and he said, I don't think that's the way it was. Have you ever seen a group of kids who are excited about something and they're all talking over each other and their voices are getting louder because each one is trying to talk over the one before them and they're going like this and you can't stop them? That's what they were like. They were thrilled. They were so excited. This is the birth of God. And I think that it overwhelmed them. And they were there before Mary and Joseph. We got to tell you. First, there was his angel, and it was so bright. We were scared to death. But he said, don't worry, because I got great news. You're going to find God tonight. And then, you wouldn't believe it. There was so many angels. We couldn't count them all. They were all singing and praising God. How awesome that was. And they told all this to Mary and Joseph. They said, you wouldn't believe what we heard. And they told them all how awesome that must have been. And they were so excited that they left there and they went into the town. I can imagine them running and banging on the doors. You've got to hear this. Can you imagine you're sitting at dinner with your family in a restaurant at the hotel, and these dirty, smelly shepherds cruise in, and they're all yelling, and they're excited, and they got to tell you, oh, we saw an angel, and then there were all these angels, and they told us, and we went and saw God, and he was in a manger, and you wouldn't believe it. And I can imagine the people sitting at the table going, those guys are crazy. There's something wrong with them. And then they start to think, oh, wait. Remember the rabbi telling us about the Messiah? Remember when we were told that Christ was going to come? Maybe that's what they're talking about. Could it be? Remember at the woman at the well, and Jesus is talking to her in John 4? And when he's done, he sends her back into the town. And she goes into the town and she says to the people of the town, you got to come meet this guy. He told me everything about my life. Could this be the Messiah? Could this be who we thought it was? I think the shepherds were doing the same thing. And the people, it says, they wondered about what the shepherds were saying. They were amazed by what they were saying. I have to believe that they were saying to themselves, could this be the one we were told was coming? Could this have really happened? Could this have taken place? This is an amazing event, and it's brought not to the leaders of the world, not to the great people of the world, not to the kings and the majesty of the world, but it's brought to the people for whom it was meant, those who would come and know Jesus as their Savior. And so they went, these shepherds, into this town, and they woke up people, and they banged on doors, and they went and told everyone they could find, anybody who would listen to them. And the people might have thought that they were crazy. And after they had done this, and they had stirred the whole town of Bethlehem, they went and took a nap. No, they didn't. What did it say? It says they went back praising God for everything they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. I don't think that these guys were ever the same after this night. I don't think that after hearing what the angel said and seeing the baby exactly as it was told to them and meeting Mary and Joseph, that they went away the same. They went away different. And you know what's great? When we meet Jesus, we go away different. You can't help it. When you meet Jesus, he changes you. When you come to accept him as your Lord and Savior, he changes you. And you will never be the same. Love had come to earth, and the ones who were entrusted with the news were going to have a hard time making people believe them. And isn't it true today? We are the messengers of God. God has entrusted to us the responsibility of sharing the good news of Jesus. And we are going to have a hard time making people listen and making them understand the good news. Not because it's a hard thing to understand, but because the world gets in the way of everything. It's an amazing thing that the creator of the universe, who could have made an announcement and everybody would have known at one time exactly what had happened, instead decided to go to a few shepherds out in a field and trust that they would make the announcement for him, that they would go and tell. And you know what? The same is true today. Jesus says, I want you to go and tell others about who I am. I want you to go out in the world. I want you to be the one to be my messenger. You be the one who's my ambassador. You go out and show them who I am. You go out and tell them about them. And we need to get up and go, just like the shepherds did. We need to get up and go right away. We need to bang on the doors. We need to tell the people of the world, Jesus has come. He has died for your sins. You are forgiven when you accept him. And we need to make that announcement because that's what we're called to do. Today, we are the shepherds, the ones who have the task to tell everyone. We're the ambassadors of God. We're the ones who have to go into the world and share this good news and tell the world that Jesus Christ is born, the Son of God, that he is alive today, that his death, burial, and resurrection allows you everlasting life in him, that your sins will be forgiven and you'll be with him forever. How awesome that news. And we need to be the ones to do it because that's who we are called to be. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this